I like this song because, one, it covers a lot of the points I want to share with you this morning, starting on this lesson, which is outline 9, regeneration and shepherding. And it has a lot of the terms that I like to bring out in my sharing. And also in stanza 2, it brings out the rest of the messages that we'll be covering and that you'll be getting into. And that is the different items in God's organic salvation. So last night we had the message concerning the judicial aspect of God's complete salvation. And then starting this morning, we'll be covering the organic aspect of God's salvation. But going back, we need to see that the base of everything God does in His organic salvation is through what He did in His judicial redemption. And I really appreciated last night's word and all the sharing from the review. And I guess if you had to consider it, the main thing that came out that kind of resounded was this matter of the precious blood of Christ, right? The precious blood of Christ. You know, for something to be precious, that's subjective, right? Meaning, is that thing precious to you? Do you value it? Do you have a value for that item, right? Well, God, concerning the blood of Christ, God surely deems this blood as being precious. We also need to consider this blood as precious. And the Lord reminded me, there's a story in the Gospels where the Lord is talking to Simon. And he said that he who sins are forgiven much, loves much. But he who sins are not forgiven as much, loves little, right? So the more our sins are forgiven, then the more we will love the Lord. And this is truly our experience, right? And just like we heard in the review and in all those verses, right? There's a goal of our confessing, and that is so that we can have peace toward God and we can be brought closer to God. So the blood is precious. But then also I was considering, you know, yesterday we did that contest to find, right? Items concerning judicial side and the organic side. And the junior high schoolers, they covered the significances of the Lord's table. And a brother brought up a point that I actually didn't see before, right? And that the fact was that the bread is made of, the bread on the table is unleavened, right? That means that there's no yeast in it. I actually went to a Christian group and I was in their Lord's table. They were having a Lord's table, and they did not have unleavened bread. They actually had leavened bread. So I don't know if it was like a French loaf or something, but it had yeast in it, right? And so they didn't break the bread. You know, when you're in the Lord's table, and eventually the brothers come up, you hear a crack, right? You know, that's significant, right? The Lord's body was broken for us. This is in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, right? So this, if you have kind of like Wonder Bread or something, right? You're not going to get that same effect, right? What does yeast signify in the Bible? Anyone? Sin, right? The Lord lived a sinless life. He lived a sinless life. That's the significance of the unleavened bread, right? How many years did he live on the earth, his human living? 33 and a half years of a sinless life. You know, I was considering with my children, even I just pick, all of them are like this, but if I would ask him, you know, come, it's time to brush your teeth, no response. That's actually a sin, yes. Right? He's rebelling. Clean up your toys. No response. No response. You know, the Lord was not like that. You know, if the Lord's mother asked him to do something, he followed, he obeyed, even as a child, right? Actually, not only is the blood precious, his life was precious. His human living was precious. It was precious to God. It also should be precious to us that he lived such a life, his entire life, a sinless life, but he gave that life to be broken for us. So I'm going to get into that some more. How about you open to your hymnal, and I'd like to look at a stanza in, it's probably a well-known hymn in Christianity. I don't know how often we sing it. Someone actually made a new tune to this. So when my first child was born, my wife and I, we were enjoying this hymn very much to this new tune. But I really enjoyed this first stanza. It's 1058. So if you have your hymnal out, you can take this. Turn to this, and we can read the first stanza together, whoever has it. Ages cleft for me.
Let me hide myself in thee. Let the water and the blood from thy written side which flow. Be a sin the double cure. Save me from its guilt and power.
Amen. Let the water and the blood from the riven side which flowed. This actually is referring to John 19:34. Actually, did anyone get John 19:34 yesterday? Did that come out, right? When the Lord was pierced on the cross, out came blood and water, right? So this is what this hymn is talking about, right? From this, so the water and the blood be of sin the double cure, right? You know, with sin, we have two problems, and we covered this, right? One is the sin outside of us, right? That is the objective aspect. That's the record before God. Well, actually, there's the record before God, and there's also the stain on our conscience, right? So, be of sin the double cure, save me from his guilt and power. So our confessing of sin, that takes care of the guilt, right? It takes care of the guilt. But there's another problem. There's another problem to sin, right? And that is the power of sin. The power of sin. Now, I don't know, as you were confessing last night, I appreciate how the brother led us, like, to go through all the different parts, you know, of our being, right? Our eyes, Lord. Lord, did my eyes see anything? Lord, my lips, did I say anything that was wrong, that offended you? But then it wasn't really until we got into the inward parts of our soul, right? Lord, my thoughts. Lord, did I think anything that offended you? Did I think of something evil, right? And also my emotions, Lord. Am I forgive me for loving things that you hate. Forgive me for loving the world. Forgive me for choosing the world. Forgive me for, you know, if you go into your parts of your soul, there's a lot of things that we need to confess, right? That are sin before God. Well, there's a power of sin. And I was considering one aspect. We need to confess. And that we do, as we confess, we enjoy the Lord's presence, his forgiveness and his cleansing. But then, on another side, I don't know if you had this thought. You know, I'm going to end up doing it again, right? You know, I'm going to do it again, right? Going back to my son, and my son is actually, he's very good. You know, even though he doesn't come when we ask him, you know, he responds. He has a conscience. And so I remember there was a time where I would tell him, we would train him, you know, no, don't do that, right? Don't grab. And then he would know that that's wrong. And when he would do it, and we would show him, you know, no, you shouldn't have done that, then he's like, he's right. And then he would say, oh, I'm sorry. He would apologize. So we touch his conscience. You know, I didn't have to lose my temper. I told you not to grab. But you just say, no, Matthew, we told you it's not good to grab. That's not right, right? And then he would feel sorry, right? And then one time he did it, and then I said, Matthew, you know you're not supposed to grab. And then his head went down like this. Oh, it broke my heart. He's like, oh, I know. He said, oh, I know. I shouldn't have done that. Oh, I can't help it. I can't help it, right? Even as a little child, he realized he can't help it, right? Oh, that really, you know, at that point, I was like, oh, Lord, I can't wait till he is saved. Can't believe until he receives another life, right? But anyhow, that happened. But then he grew older. And then he kept doing it, of course, right? You know he's going to do it again. And then now when he does it, I said, Matthew, I told you, you shouldn't do that. And then he's like, huh. Defiant, right? What happened? Somehow, right, just the feeling bad about it, it turned into, you know, he just got mad. It's like he couldn't do anything about it, right? Why you keep bothering about it? Why are you making me feel guilty, right? Actually, you know, who is the one that makes us feel guilty? That's Satan. Right? The Lord, every time we confess, right, no matter how many times we do the same sin over and over again, the Lord's blood is effective to wash us and cleanse us from that sin. But we have another problem, and that is the power of sin. We have the life of sin that's within us that causes us to do that sin over and over again, right? So of that, we have a double cure. Of sin, we have a double cure. So we have the blood and the water. So the blood is for the cleansing of sin. But what is the water for? The water is for life's imparting, right? This is what regeneration is. Regeneration means that we received another life. So I'd like you, if you have the book, to take out the book. I know we have this outline. You have this outline in front of you. But actually, I'm going to speak according to the outline of this book. So if you turn to lesson 15 in this book, that's on regeneration. And the first page, you know, it might be on different pages. On mine is page 67, right? There's the first page, you see the outline. And maybe you could write this down in your notes. So I like to speak on God's intention. And then two, the need of God's life. The need of God's life. And then the third point is to be born of God. And the other things I'd like to talk about is the seed of life. So this is not in the book, but I'm going to talk about the seed of life. And then shepherding, to lead into shepherding. So let's start with God's intention, right? So God's intention, that's his purpose. And so if I say purpose, what comes to your mind? Genesis 1:26. So what words come to mind? Image and dominion, right? Okay. You know, when we want to get out gospel preaching, you know, sometimes we try to start conversations with people. So we say, oh, what did you learn? We say we're in the summer school and we're learning truths from the Bible. So what do you learn about? Oh, God's eternal purpose. And then they might ask you a question. What can you say about it, right? Well, if you just say, oh, image and dominion, right? You're like, how do you make the connection, right? It's good to kind of make the connection. These shouldn't just be words to us. Actually, God has an eternal purpose, right? God has an eternal purpose. And his eternal purpose is to have many sons, many sons. And the significant thing about sons is that they have the life and nature of the Father. So they express the Father, They just express the Father in their life. I was thinking, you know, there's a lot of, you know, purpose. There's a lot of things that, you know, purpose is something, not only God has a purpose, but, you know, we also have a purpose. And I don't know if you realize, my purpose, well, one purpose might be, after this summer school of truth, I want to relax, take a break, right? So I'm thinking about, you know, that's my intention. Right? God has intention. Well, my intention is this weekend I'm going to rest. And that's according to my heart's desire. I like to do that, right? I'm going to have pleasure in that. So I think about it and I can consider, and then you make a plan. What are you going to do? Yeah. Right? So that plan, that's your economy. That's how you're going to carry it out, right? How are you going to carry it out? I don't think we realize, but they have a lot of purpose, right? There's all sorts of different purposes that man has for his life. Some might be, well, in your context, maybe where you are, to get to the top school, right? To get to the top school. So that's your intention. You like to do that. And your whole, you gear everything that you do, all your studying, all your extracurricular activity, just to get to that top school, right? For some people, it's to be rich. Is to be rich, to be wealthy, right? Others is to be famous in life. And for some, it might be to be well-liked, appreciated. You know, some people, they like to be funny. Their purpose in life, they just want to be funny, to make other people laugh, right? I think some junior high schoolers are like that. I might have been like that in junior high schoolers, right? You have someone who always tries to make other people laugh, turn everything into a joke, right? Or into something humorous. Well, there's all these different purposes. But the point is that we should not make any purpose the meaning of our human life. If you make going to the top school the meaning of human life, you will suffer. In the end, you will suffer. If you make being rich the meaning of your human life, then eventually you will suffer. If you want to be powerful and famous, right, and you make that the meaning of your life, you make that your whole purpose in life, you will suffer, right? I was actually considering this because, you know, in the news, you know, you heard about a story about someone famous who died. You know, he was a very wealthy person from a wealthy background. So he had the wealth, he grew up in wealth, he was very famous. But that does not satisfy man, right? In order for man to know the meaning and to enjoy the meaning of his human life, he has to know God's eternal purpose. Because that was the reason that he was created. He was created for God's purpose. So, and this purpose, as I said, it was for sons. So maybe I'll start with a diagram on the board. I think many of you know this already, but I don't think we covered it in the summer school. And so God has a purpose. It's an eternal purpose, meaning it's an unchanging purpose. This purpose will never change. He wants to have sons, many sons that express him in life and natures. Well, how is he going to do this, right? So there's a diagram that shows all the steps that he took in his plan, right, in his economy to gain many sons. So it starts first, and you can write this in your notes, right? It starts first with God. And then he created man in his image, right, as a tripartite vessel. So I hope every time you see three circles like this, you think man, right? You think vessel, tripartite man. But after God created man, the problem was that he took in sin. Sin got into man, right? He took in the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. So through that, Satan got into man. So man was fallen, right? Because of sin. So what did God do? I think many of you know this diagram, so maybe you could help me out. What was the first step that God took? Incarnation, right? God became a man. Incarnation, right? If you don't know how to spell it, you can look at that song or in your notes. What's the next one?
Human living.
He lived 33 and a half years of a sinless life. And then next? Crucifixion. Right? I think many of you appreciated the 6 hours that the Lord spent on the cross to die for our sins. Right? This is here. And next, he was buried. And then next one? He was resurrected, right? This is his crucifixion. And then?
Ascended.
He ascended. He was in ascension, right? So do you all have it? Have that? Is the human living, crucifixion, resurrection, and then he ascended. He ascended. You know, the first time I saw this diagram was in junior high school. And it wasn't in the Summer School of Truth. It was actually in a young people's meeting on the Lord's Day. And I still remember being in, you know, all know the Dunton House, right? I still remember the room. I know even the room that I was sitting in, right? Even this chair I was sitting in that room upstairs on the second floor. And I was facing the brother as he was drawing this diagram. And I was so impressed. As I don't know if I was a sixth grader or a seventh grader, right? But then I was looking at this diagram, I was like, wow, wow. You know, all the stories I learned, right, reading the Bible as a child, right, everything is there, right, about the Lord Jesus, how he was born in a manger, right, the disciples, Bartimaeus, right, Zacchaeus, right, Mary, they're all here in this human living. And then he died on the cross. And then he resurrected and he ascended. And even, you know, I had a Bible from Christianity, so it had pictures. So it had a picture of the Lord ascending. So that came to mind. But that you know, I was thinking, ascended, yes, the Lord. Wow. All in one picture. Yeah. Lord, it seemed like my feeling was, Lord, you're doing something. Yes. It's not just stories, you're doing something. Right. You're full of intent. You're full of purpose, right? What is it that God is doing, right? Well, maybe we could look at a verse. 1 Peter 1:3. And if you have that, maybe we can start, whoever has it. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his great mercy has regenerated us unto a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. So this says that through his resurrection, he regenerated us. What is regeneration? Regeneration is the receiving of another life. So in his resurrection, he was able to enter into man to be man's life. So man now has another life. In addition to the life that you're born with, you have the divine life of God. This is actually profound. This is profound. In resurrection, the Lord Jesus became a life-giving spirit, right? This is 1 Corinthians 15:45b, right? So we were regenerated unto a living hope, right? So I started talking about sons, right? God's intention is that he would have sons. So how is it that he gains sons? Well, maybe we can turn to another verse. Let's turn to John. John chapter 1. Verse 12 and 13. Amen. Jesus. Okay, let's read it. But as many as received him, to them he gave the authority to become children of God, to those who believe into his name, who were begotten not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. So how is it that we have the authority to become children of God? This is actually quite a thing. It's not that God just says, okay, you know what? All you people, I want you to be my son. So, boom, I make you my son. I label you my sons, right? You know, there was actually a famous person. Actually, she was very wealthy, Leona Helmsley. You know, she is famous, not just for being rich, but she left, I think, millions of her wealth to her dog. Right, her pet. She loved her dog. I don't know if she had children or not, but if she did have children, I'll be, you know, pretty upset about that. But look, can you love a dog? And how many of you have dogs as pets? Yeah. Oh, quite a number. And I know you love your dog, right? You love it. People have the, they just love it, right? But you know, you can't make your pet, your dog, you can't make it. All right, I have a dog here. Oh, I love you so much. You're so cute. I'm just going to make you my son. You're my son. I just want you to be my child. You know, you can't do that, right? How can you do that, right? You can make him your pet, your favorite, what? But it can't be your son. Why not? Because that dog has a different life, right? So how is it that God can make us his sons? He gives us his life. He gives us his life. You know, this life that we have, that is the authority that we have. It's the power that we have to be the children of God, right? We were begotten not of this and not of that. We were begotten of God. We were born of God. Maybe we could look at another verse. How about, can someone look up John 3:6? Maybe whoever has it can read it. Go ahead, brother.
That which is born of the flesh is flesh,
and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit.
Amen. That which is born of the Spirit is spirit. God, as Spirit, regenerated us in our spirit so that we could have the divine life, right? So this meaning, you know, we often say that we have God came into us. But we need to realize this actually has to be a revelation to us that God, he lives in us. He is not separate from his life. He enters into us so that we could be his life and that we can thereby express him. So from this diagram, we see that we were fallen, but then through all the steps that the Lord took, he redeemed us. He redeemed man, right? But then redeeming man was not enough. Man had to have God's life in order to fulfill God's purpose. So God also regenerates man. How is it that we can receive this other life? How is it that we receive this other life? And you know, I don't want to take for granted that everyone in this room knows. And this is something that if you go out in the gospel, many people, you have to be able to help them. How is it that, well, how do you receive this life? So maybe some brothers can help look up some verses. Can someone look up John 3:14 and 15? And then maybe someone else can read 16. And then another person yet can read verse 36. So this is for your notes. You can write down John 3:14 and 15, 3:16 and 3:36. So whoever has 14, 15, you can go ahead and read.
And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that everyone who believes in him may have eternal life.
Amen. Everyone who believes into him may have eternal life. So how do you gain this eternal life? You just have to believe into him, right? You just believe into him. And in the verse, John 1:12 that we read, well, believing is just to receive, as many as received him, right? To those who believed into his name. Okay, who has verse 16? Read verse 16. Go ahead, Zachary.
For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that everyone who believes in him would not perish, but would have eternal life.
Amen. So everyone, again, we see who believes into him would have eternal life, as you believe into him. And then verse 36, who has it? Okay, together.
He who believes in the Son has eternal life, but he who disobeys the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abides upon him.
So again, the beginning part of this verse, he who believes into the Son has eternal life. Actually, regeneration is a very simple matter. How it all starts is a very simple matter. All you have to do is just believe. Believing is receiving,
amen.
Right? Especially if you grew up in the church life, right? As I did. Well, I grew up in Christianity, and then my parents started coming when I was in junior high. You grew up, praise the Lord, in a Christian family. So I grew up loving the Bible and loving the Lord, right? And I remember, actually the second thing I remember in my junior high school days, in the meetings on the Lord's Day with the young people was when they were preaching this matter of salvation, right? And they asked me, "Oh, do you want to pray to receive the Lord?" And I remember my response was, "Oh, but I'm already saved. I'm already saved." I don't think I could explain it, but that was my attitude, right? Well, and then eventually, as you get to learn more, then you kind of wonder, when was I? First, you know, when did I first receive the Lord? It was not like any particular experience, right, that kind of stood out. But I just, all my life, I just grew up loving the Lord, going with my parents to the meetings and believing in the Lord. Well, if you have any doubt, it's so simple to receive the Lord. You can just say, how about we all say this together? Lord Jesus, I believe in you.
Lord Jesus, I believe in you.
Lord Jesus, I receive you.
Lord Jesus, I receive you.
I believe into you.
I believe into you.
Thank you for giving me your life.
Thank you for giving me your life.
If you prayed that from your heart, and if you were not saved, well, you're saved right now. It's actually that easy. You know, actually, growing up in a Christian home, those steps, going to the children's meetings, that prepares you to receive the Lord, and it's so easy. Actually, there are many people outside that you might meet that have been prepared. So when you actually talk to them about the gospel, you don't have to convince them so much. All you have to do is get them to pray these words, to receive the Lord. You know, you can receive the Lord into you. He can come into you as another life. All you have to do is pray to receive the Lord. And you could use these verses. So I hope you got all these verses in your notes. Because they might ask you, well, okay, how do I receive the Lord? Right? And then, you know, oh, do you know? You know, maybe the serving woman might not be with you, right? You have to have it at the ready. So all the verses that we covered, I hope you have them with you. Amen, Lord Jesus. Amen, right? So there is the... So to fulfill God's intention, we need the life of God. How about we read a section from this book? If you turn to the section, Born of God. So again, it's on lesson 15, Born of God. Maybe we could read this first paragraph together. Just want to read this to solidify the points. To be a Christian is not a matter of being improved. To be a Christian is to be born of God, which means that in addition to our human life, we receive God's life. Because we were all born in sin.
We are all sinners. How can a sinner stop sinning? It is not possible. How can you tell a dog to stop barking and start meowing?
Praise the Lord. After receiving God's life, the satanic nature within man is gradually swallowed up. Sinful, lowly men like us can now grow in God's life to become the sons of God to express Him. You know, I hope none of you, when we hear the speaking about God's eternal purpose, you'll be discouraged. On one hand, you can take this word and say, you know what, I can never be like that. I can never be like that. You don't know what I'm like inside, right? I can't be like that. And usually like that, you're thinking about someone, right? You think about someone, maybe a particular brother or sister that hourly is very good, right? You know? You might have an attitude like that. Or you might be on the other side, you might think that, yes, that's me. You know, oh, I got... do all my memory verses, you know, I always go to church meetings, you know. Well, that's all good. But actually, by what life are you doing all that? Right? By what life are you doing all that? Well, the life that we can accomplish God's purpose, we have that life within us. We have that life. That life will enable us to live a life that expresses God. And this is what we're going to see throughout the rest of the messages, all the things of how this life, regeneration is the base, but then now we end up growing in this life. And in this growth, the Lord does a lot of things. So maybe we can take out the outline. There's a few points I want to read from the outline. You could just look at it. I'll read it, right? So point one, in the propagation and nourishment of the divine life. So the propagation is just the spreading. God's life spreading into many, many people. But then it's also, they need the nourishment of the divine life, right? So regeneration, point A. Regeneration being the center of God's entire salvation. And it's the commencement, it's the start of God's salvation in the organic aspect. So this is now the base for us to grow in the divine life, right? It being to regenerate and recreate the believers. You know, God is doing a work of recreation. He is doing something new that's a part of your old sinful life. Recreate the believers in their spirit through the Spirit of God. And, you know, I mentioned I was going to talk about the seed of life. And, oh, Lord Jesus. Well, a picture is worth a thousand words, right? So I bought a picture. Okay, this is a bag of seeds. Actually, there was not that many choices, so this is the only one I could get, right? A seed, we know, is a container of life, right? So I don't know, I could hold it up. You can barely see it, right? Most seeds are very small, right? But I'm going to show it to someone. What kind of seed do you think this is?
A tree.
A tree? No, no. Sunflower? Close, close. Pumpkin? Pumpkin?
Pumpkin.
Watermelon?
No, pumpkin.
Pumpkin? Actually, it's a watermelon seed. Watermelon, yeah. Can you imagine that this thing will grow into a watermelon? Sorry, I didn't bring the watermelon. I was thinking. But I think everyone, you know, it's summertime, so all of you can visualize a watermelon, right? This will grow into a watermelon, right? And this is pretty incredible, right? There's directions here. It says, sow in thoroughly warm soil in full spring, right? Sow the seeds 4 to 6 seeds apart, you know, 3 inches. Cover with 1 inch of fine soil, right? Seedlings will emerge in 7 to 10 days. So after you plant this in the ground, right, 7 to 10 days later, a seed, something will come out. When do you think the actual watermelon will come out? About a month. I was pretty impressed. Well, if you think it's a month, actually it says 90 days to maturity. So this thing, if you plant it in the ground, 90 days, you're going to have hopefully a big fat watermelon. Isn't that incredible? I don't know. I grew up in the city. Any of you farmers, do you grow? That's incredible, right? You know, this seed, if I just leave it on the table for years, right? Years, just leave it. Nothing will happen to it. It's just going to sit there, right? But once I put this into some soil, into some ground, right? And then I take care of it. I water it, right? That's actually the shepherding. You're feeding it. You're taking care of it, right? Eventually, it's going to grow up into something, right? So this actually is the picture that God gives us concerning God's life, right? How about we can turn to another verse? This is 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 23. This is a very important verse, so let's all read together strongly. Having been regenerated, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, through the living and abiding Word of God. Amen. Having been regenerated, how were we regenerated? Actually, it was with incorruptible seed, right? God says we were regenerated with an incorruptible seed. What is this seed? It's the Word of life. The Word of life. We heard some words from the Bible, right? And those words carried God's life as a seed, and it was planted into us, right? And then eventually, this life, now that it's planted into us, it can grow. Well, what would it grow up into? Well, that's why I wanted to take out the watermelon and show it up, right? It grows up, you know, everything is in the seed, right? The genes, there are genes in here that this seed, watermelon, it's not going to come out like this. That was my other example. This is a sunflower seed. This is a sunflower, right? And actually, the seeds look very similar, right? But there's the genes, there's the life that's in here that will come out, and it expresses those genes. It expresses the kind of life that it has, right? So we have an incorruptible seed that is the life of God. So if we take care of this seed and let it grow, well, what will be expressed? It will be God, right? And it's not by effort, you know? I don't have to tell this seed to grow. I don't have to do any work. I just have to plant it and take care of it, right? So I'd like to read some more verses. Maybe we could turn to Luke 8. So again, it talks about this matter, the seed. Well, the seed is okay, right? Everything is in the seed, but what is the ground? What is the ground, right? Well, the ground is actually our heart. It's our heart. So when we say we have to take care of the ground, we have to take care of our heart. So this is a parable that talks about the sowing the seed and how we should take care of our heart or be watchful about the condition of our heart. So chapter 8, verse, maybe you could read from verse 5. Please read from 5 to verse 8. Very good. And then if you read along later, I'll read this to you. The Lord explains this parable, that the seed is the word of God. Those beside the way, and the way is just the ground, right, where people usually walk, are those who heard, then the devil comes and takes away the word from their heart, so that they would not believe and be saved. You know, the way is the ground that's hardened, right? You know, if you walk on dirt for a long time, it gets hardened by the traffic. And that's just like us as well. You know, as, you know, all we let allow all the worldly traffic to enter our being. You know, if you're busy playing video games for about a few hours or reading the news or watching TV, and then, you know, someone calls you to read the Bible, within you just have no heart for it. You have no appetite for it, right? That's how your heart can be hardened by the worldly traffic, right? And then there's also the matter about the seeds sown in the rocks, right? If you sow something in the rock, there's some earth there, right? But there's a lot of other things, a lot of stones. What are these things? Well, if you look at the footnotes in Matthew 13, it says that these can be sins. These can be specific things, things that we haven't dealt with in our being. We haven't confessed to the Lord. And this could hinder the growth of the seed in our heart. So we have to take care of all the different offenses in our heart to have way for the God's life as a seed to spread through all the parts of our heart. And then, what are the thorns? Well, in verse 14 it says, the thorns, these are the ones that were utterly choked by anxieties and riches and pleasures of this life and do not bring any fruit to maturity, right? So anxieties, riches, pleasures of this life. And this word life is bios, talking about the physical life. And this struck me. You know, in Luke, the Lord often talks about denying your soul life, right? Denying certain enjoyments. And we know that if we often just live in our enjoyment, right, in the different pleasures, just to do, you know, whatever we like to do, enjoy life, enjoy the world, you know, we may at the same time be going on with the Lord. But then this ends up, those enjoyments end up choking the growth, choking the growth within us. So these are all things that we have to deal with, and we deal with them by actually denying them. It actually is very good sometimes just not to turn on the TV, right, and to read the Bible. That's denying the soul life, right? And that's to take care of your heart. So we want our hearts to be the good ground, right? And shepherding, this is the second step of God's organic salvation, right? It includes feeding. It's taking care of our hearts so things can grow. And it's also to feed us. So let's read one more verse together. 1 Peter 2:2. Actually, As newborn babes long for the guileless milk of the word, by it you... So here the verse says, to grow unto salvation. We need to grow in our salvation. And this takes place throughout an entire Christian life. So shepherding is not just at the beginning as some item, but actually continues from the point of our regeneration up until the maturity where we can actually express God in full to glorify Him, right? And how do we do this? Well, through this verse is through the Word of God. The Word of God. So this is a good way to take care of the seed, is just to read and enjoy God's Word. Amen. And I have to testify, you know, just reading the Word does something. You know, you don't think about it. Maybe you're not thinking about, oh, now I have to take care of the seed. You just read. You just enjoy God's Word. Over a period of time, it'll do something, right? Even this, it says, what, 7 to 10 days? Something comes out. Try reading God's Word for 7 to 10 days. Something will happen to you. Others will start to notice, right? We have to ask the Lord, Lord, give me a hunger for your Word so that I wouldn't even be able to put it down, right? There was a period in my life where I just had the Bible always with me, and every time, everywhere I went, I was always reading it, right? It's not so much in these days, but Lord, we have to ask the Lord, Lord, even plead with the Lord, give me such an appetite for your Word so that I may grow. God's Word will help us to grow. Along with this, I'll just give you some other practical things. You know, the church life, the church, that helps us to grow, right? There's some verses, because of the time, I won't get into them, right? But there's many verses here that basically says one thing. The Lord is our shepherd. He is our shepherd, right? He is the one helping to feed us. But there's an account in Song of Songs where we ask, where is the shepherd, right? Where do you pasture your flock? Where do you take your flock to? Where do you feed your sheep, right? It's at the, where does he feed his sheep? Where does the Lord shepherd? Actually, it's in the church life. And this is also my experience, right? It's not that I came for feeding or I came to let this life grow, but I was just empty within, and then I found myself in the church meetings. And you just keep yourself there, right? Sow yourself into the church meetings, and then something will grow. Something will grow. Your life will change. And another simple thing is just singing. Singing, right? You know, I don't really, music is not my forte, and it's hard for me to get into songs. You know, actually my wife is the one who's musical. Any new song takes me a long time to get into. I can't enjoy it. But then once I hear it a few times, oh, it's in me, right? And it just keeps going in me. I was recently in the car driving back to New York with the brothers, or I was driving to New Jersey, actually, with the brothers, and then I heard a CD that I didn't hear in a long time. It was actually the first New York YPCD. It was the, what's the title? The Green, Splendid Church Life. And there was a song on that I hadn't heard in a long time. And it just brought me back years, like 5 or 6 years ago. And I remember I was on my commute to work every morning. I was listening to that verse. I was listening to that song. And that song became my prayer. And then, wow, and I heard it again, all this stuff. Lord, I love you. Lord, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. You know, singing can really bring God's Word into us, right? It's a wonderful thing. Well, I'll just stop here. Maybe what should we do to...
How about we sing?
Amen.